have you to join me in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. While you're finding that, if you were here Sunday night, this past Sunday night, I thought Brother David was going to just take what I've been working and putting together for tonight. I thought, oh man, he's going to trail off through it, you know. But he stopped off. I mean, he stopped off at from what point he stopped off at just still the main thought that I had in my heart is still there. That women wasn't going over. So if you have 1 Kings chapter 19, well, let me kind of give you where we're at here. Of course, this portion of scripture is dealing with that prophet of the Old Testament named Elijah. Me being a children's church pastor, I know I have preached many messages about Elijah and Elisha through 1 Kings. I mean, there's so many interesting how God used these individuals and events and in those verses. That I know I've done many down for the years, but Elijah here in chapter 18 previous, he that's the chapter that he's just been on Mount Carmel, and there was 450 prophets of Baal and 400 it says prophets of the grove, so that's about 850 of these false prophets that had met with him up on Mount Carmel, and they're having kind of a challenge take place. Elijah tells those prophets to prepare them an altar and put down a sacrifice that they would have available to the Baal or to their gods, and then they're to pray to their gods and try to receive an answer from these false gods about their sacrifice. And he tells them to go first with the event, and the Bible says that they spend all the morning and they go through just a whole bunch of things, that goes on, but there's no answer. And of course, there's no answer. This is the false gods and stuff here, but there's no answer comes, and then Elijah comes up and he prepares the sacrifice that he's gonna prepare, and. And he does just a simple little prayer. It's in verse 18 there, but he does just a simple little prayer asking God to show himself, reveal himself strong and on behalf of the people. And so he prays this simple little prayer, and from that prayer, fire comes down from above and consumes the altar and water and everything around the altar, but it consumes it up. So, and at this point, right at the close of chapter 18, it says that the prophets of Baal had been rounded up and that they were all killed with the sword. And so that's what has happened in 18. Now, I want to talk to you tonight in chapter 19, something I've entitled, A Still Small Voice. A Still Small Voice. In chapter 19, it says here, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and wherewithal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, that's Elijah, he arose and he went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Hebron, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave. And he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken their covenant, tore down their altars and slain their prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Well, stop there for a second. And Elijah, after having that great victory on Mount Carmel, now then we see him, he's on the run from Jezebel saying, this time tomorrow, your life is going to be like the life of those prophets. You know, she said, look at her, she said, the gods with an S. You know, of course, she's right along with all the other false god people, her belief, you know. Not in the true God there, is it? But Elijah has went on the run, and he's through the help of an angel God had sent to him and stuff, he's made it to this cave, and he's letting the Lord know. He says, I'm jealous. I want to hear from you. He's wanting to hear from God, and he's sitting there, and he's saying, I'm the only one left, God. They've slain all your prophets. Everybody's turned their way, and I'm by myself. I'm left all alone. So he's in that state of mind. He's in that kind of mind. And what I love, what happens next is just amazing to me. God is going to show him something, show Elijah something that speaks to me, I think, and it helps me and for us today. But he's going to show him, reveal something to him that's just a really, really neat. So we pick up there, it says, and he said, go forth, God told him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And it says, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Get this phrase here. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then it says, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. These three things happen here. Elijah saying, I want to hear from you, God. I've got to hear from you. I've got to know what you want me to do or what your will is, and I need to hear from you. And it's like Elijah, he's in a mess. He's saying, God, you've got to show me through some great earth-shaking event. You know, you've got to, and God puts him in that cave, and it says there that a mighty wind rents the mountain, pieces of rocks are falling, and everything is in the wind here. But the Bible says God is not in the wind. He's saying, Elijah, I'm not here to get your attention or get you to look to me. I'm not here to get your attention in a way such as this. And I'm glad that my God is a God that says, I'm just going to shake and rip and tell you that you're going to do and listen to this. He says, no. And he goes on there and it says that there's an earthquake. I've only seen the earthquakes on TV, of course. I've never been in one, you know, actually happening. I'm a West Texas boy. I've been in a few tornadoes. I had one tornado. It took the roof off of our house when I was in a bathroom underneath there. So I've seen God work that way. But not an earthquake. You know, but I can't imagine everything shaking and rocking and stuff falling down and, what God would do in the earthquake. And it says there that God causes the earthquake to happen. But yet again, he says, Elijah, I'm not in the earthquake. I'm not there. And then it speaks about a fire, a fire coming. And all these things, it all follows up by saying he's not in those things. But look how it closes out right there at the end of verse. Is it 12, I think? It says, and after the fire, a still small voice. A little small voice. And from that, in the best verse, it says, and it was so when Elijah heard it. Now think about it. He's been hearing a lot of stuff. The wind's been shaking the rocks off the mountain, you know. The earthquake's been rattling everything. The fire's been coming down. There's been a lot of noise. And there's a lot of noise going on in America today. There's a lot of noise going on in our lives. There's noise all around us. There's noise of stuff that can get our mind. I know it can get our mind in a depressed state even, and then get our mind all. There's noise all around us. And Elijah had all kind of noise happening to him, didn't he? But he came there and said, he finally heard it, a still small voice. I believe God was speaking in that small voice to him long before he ever headed across the wilderness. I believe God was speaking to Elijah long before that. Like, I believe he speaks to all of us. I believe he speaks all the time. But I think the main thing was Elijah, and I think with us, with the today, the noise of the world, the noise of everything going on, it can cause us to be deaf to that still small voice that is talking and wanting to speak to us, you know? Just a small, caring, loving voice of our God saying, Elijah, Elijah. And it says when he heard it, when he heard it, but what? I can do what? You know, for everything's been going on around him. And now then, what was that? And it says that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, now what doest thou here, Elijah? Why are you doing here? He goes on and tells him in verse 18, I look down there, it says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which has not kissed him. He lets him know he's not alone. You know, he's not alone. There's many that still there, faithful to the Lord. And that, you know, I think that's, you know, true to us. But he was telling Elijah, he said, you need to listen to that small voice. You know, that still small voice. You know, our brother David said, we got a great opportunity coming up here in just, you know, September, what it is, September the 29th, I guess it is. See, I wrote it down on here. That's Sunday night. When Brother Clark comes here, Brother Clark Bossier is going to be preaching at Sunday night, and then the Monday night and Tuesday night. And we got a great opportunity here. Man, he really has got his own Brother Clark. And I think it's an opportunity. We, all of us, I know for me, if we just say, hey, Lord, we're going to get our minds still. Let's just listen for what God would want to tell us. You know, a still, small voice. I don't know why it made me think of this. Years ago now, I don't know, 25, Brother Clark was a traveling evangelist back at this time frame. He was young preacher man, but God was using him greatly across, especially teenagers, his preaching, his deal with teenagers. And then I was in the church in Lubbock, I was years when I was a bus, I was just a bus captain, and I worked in the children's church, and I was on a bus there and stuff. But Brother Clark was coming to do a revival meeting at the church there, and so we ran our buses, and we ran 11 buses that night. It was on a Monday night. We was going to run the buses because Brother Clark was going to be preaching the deal. So we ran those buses, and we brought them to the family center, and we fed them. We was going to feed them before the night service was going to happen and have all the kids, everybody go in there. Man, I'm sure we had probably about 280 to close to 300 teenagers on that all came in for that thing. We had that thing set up, and we had this hot dog, chili, all this big cookout for them. The biggest food fight broke out in that gym that you couldn't see anything better on the TV. I mean, there was frying Wendy's, chili going everywhere. I mean, it was the biggest food fight broke out there in that gym with all those teenagers, all those kids in there. And I was left, me and we were left trying to clean people off and get stuff together. And I remember we were sending kids in 10 at a time into the service, trying to get them into the service, just trying to get them cleaned off and get them in. And that night, we did end up having, we got the counsel and we got to deal with right at 30 young people that, you know, received the Lord, their Savior, you know, got dealt with to be saved. And it was amazing that, but I never forget being in that. Man, it was a disaster out there. That I'd never seen. The Lord, I need him. It was crazy, but that was years ago. And Brother Clark, he was just always been a, you know, Lord's always blessed me when I hear him. He's a mighty preacher. He's, of course, he's preaching, been a pastor of the church now for many years in the church in Alito there. As doing just wonderful, but he'll be here like I was saying, and we all need a cover to come be here that Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and get the and say, Lord, just close our mind of other things and the noise, like the earthquake and the fire and the wind and all these things. And God saying, I'm not in that. I'm not in that. That's not how I'm going to get your attention. That's not it. Elijah then says he finally heard it. And he said, "Now what are you doing here? Yet you need to quit your whining and quit your belly aching, you know, and there's still many that have not turned their back from me, and you need to know I'm there, and he'll always be there." So so that's just an amazing thought to me. That I don't know, but it's the still small voice. But
Stacy was preaching, and my little one can hear boom, 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 boom. You young ears back here hear that? Yes, amen. Well, the good thing about it is we're going to be out of here, and you'll be able to go on before everybody gets gone over there. But it happens once a year, and every year, I was telling somebody, you know, they've done this now about 3 or 4 years, and every year it gets bigger and bigger. So maybe this time next year when they have homecoming, they'll take over all of our parking places. You know? But anyway, it's just one of those things that happen. All right. Well, thanks, Brother Stacy. Like I say, don't forget to continue to pray for Bam and Melody Ross.